If I was to make this statement, how many of you would agree with this statement? Our God is the supreme giver. He's the greatest giver of all time. How many of you agree with that? Amen. Our God is the greatest giver of all time. And you know, when you really study the scriptures, you know what you find out? We talk about the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches these three are one. But when you study each member of the Godhead, you find that each one gives and lives for the other. For example, the Father, he lives for the Son. The Son, he lives for the Father. The Holy Spirit lives to exalt the Son. And there's this giving within the Godhead that's such an example to us. Our God is a giver. And we see that within the Godhead. We know that the Father gave the Son. And that was a huge sacrifice for the Father to give the Son to come to this earth. And that fellowship was broken between the two when he died on the cross. And that was a huge, huge, huge. We will never know what a gift that was. Then the Son, of course, willingly chose to give his life for us on the cross. Aren't you thankful we can be saved today because Christ gave his life for us? We can be saved. We can go to heaven. We can have our sins forgiven. Why? He gave. He loved us and gave himself for us. Then, of course, the Son went away and the Father and Son gave the Holy Spirit to live inside of us so that we could have comfort when we need it, so that we could have guidance, so that we could have peace. He gave us the Holy Spirit, and we'll never know how great a gift that was until we get to heaven. What would we do without the Holy Spirit in our lives? The Holy Spirit lives for the Son, to exalt the Son and to show forth Christ in our life. So within the Godhead, you have this giving. And so our God is the supreme giver. He epitomizes a giving heart. Now in your handout, the first statement says, God's desire is to manifest his giving heart through his children today. God wants you to reflect his glory. He wants you, look, no one's going to see God, per se. Nobody's even going to see Jesus Christ today. The way that people know God and the way that they see him is they're going to see him in your life. So you see, God wants us to reflect who he is to the world that doesn't know him. Giving, and I'm not just talking about money now, I'm talking about giving of your time, your talent, giving of your resources, yes, your money, but giving is a very natural, it's a very normal response of a person that's in a close relationship and a walk with Jesus Christ. A believer that's been saved by God's amazing grace, we don't give out of rule or out of law. We don't give out of guilt or out of greed or out of coercion, but we give out of a deep love and an appreciation for our Savior Jesus Christ. In your handout, it says that giving is a grace. Giving is a grace that God wants us to abound in. We learned this last week. And we learned last week, didn't we, church, that giving is a grace. Just like faith, love, knowledge, giving is a grace that God says he wants us to abound in. Just like you grow in your faith, you grow in your love. Hopefully, I'm growing in my love for my wife. I want to. Hopefully, I'm growing in my love for you, my fellow brethren and sisters in Christ. I want to grow. I want to love you more today than I did yesterday. And just as we grow in our love and we grow in our faith and we grow in our knowledge of God and his word, Paul said, I want you to see to it that you also grow in this grace of giving. Why? Because it exemplifies who God is. It demonstrates God to other people. And so this issue is really important because God says, I want you to abound in it. Now, the word abound means to be in excess. The word abound carries the idea of excelling or overflowing. Anybody in here ever on purpose or accidentally, you ever shake a 2-liter bottle and then open it? And what happens? It abounds. Amen. it just abounds, you know. And recently my son had some A&W root beer and it had gotten all shaken up. Mom told him, don't open it, don't open it, don't open it. And he couldn't wait to drink that root beer. So he popped that thing open and guess what? It abounded. It abounded. And he said, well, it's biblical, it abounded. And you know, no, he didn't really say that. But yeah, that's what the word abound means. It means you just overflow. In other words, he says, when he says abound in the grace of giving, he's saying, man, I want you to just go overboard. I want you to just go above and beyond. I want you to excel. I want you to just let it overflow. That the giving heart of God, just let it overflow in your life. That's the idea of the word. Now, there's a lot of foolishness expounded on TV and in churches today and about this subject, and it's ridiculous. You know, God wants you to send me $1,000 and God's surely going to bless you. You know, you've heard that, right? If you don't, or you've heard preachers preach, you know, to their flock, if you don't give this amount, you're going to be cursed, you know, and God's going to get his money from you one way or the other. Your car's going to break down or this or that's going to happen. You know, send me money and I'll pray and I'll bind Satan and I'll loose your pocketbook. Yeah, they want to loose your pocketbook, all right. They want to loose it so they can get a hold of it, amen. That's religious tyranny, and that's extortion, and it's disgusting. And it's no wonder that Christians are wary about a subject that really ought to be natural to talk about. I said it ought to be natural to talk about. If our God's a giving God and we belong to Him, then shouldn't this be a natural thing to talk about? Shouldn't it just be real natural? And Satan has robbed us of a blessing from talking about a subject that's such a blessing. And I'm not afraid to preach this because I love it. This is a subject that's dear to my heart. And like I said, it doesn't matter to me whether you give here or not. As long as you have that heart of God, you don't have to give here. We don't want, you know, that's not the purpose. You can give to whatever ministry is feeding you and you believe in and you think they're doing a great work. You can give your money to God how you see fit. That's between you and God. Nobody's here to try to have religious tyranny in your life and try to lord over you and tell you what to do. That's not the point. The point is that this ought to be just a very natural subject for a Christian to talk about. Because all three members of the Godhead are givers. And therefore, if I'm walking with God and I'm in a close relationship with Him, I just naturally want to give, you know, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. Now, we need guidance about this, because like I said, there's so much tomfoolery out there today that people expound. They take scriptures out of context and they try to take people and lord over them. And so it's something that we really do need instruction about so that we can make good decisions, you know, and know what to do. And so that we can abound, you know, in this thing. And so we need instruction. So thankfully, the Apostle Paul writes specifically to the church, to the body of Christ, us. And he gives us some just real practical, helpful principles that will help us to be like God and abound, excel, overflow in this grace of giving, and thereby, like we sung a minute ago, our life can have an impact for Christ. We can look back on our life one day and look back in heaven and see the lives that have been impacted because of our giving. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about giving of yourself, giving of your time, you know, living sacrificially for other people. That's what I'm talking about. That thing of giving. And we can look back and see how God, as bread that is broken, God used our life to impact somebody else's life. Now, when we talk about the area of giving, Paul gives us three great principles that I want to share with you quickly this morning. And I hope it'll be a help to you. I had several people come by the hospitality room after the 9:30 service and said they're from out of town. They wanted copies of the CDs because they said it was so helpful. And I hope it's helpful. That's the only thing I want to do. I want to be helpful to you. The first principle is this. Let's bring it up on the screen there. And I want you to write this in your handout. The first principle that Paul gives is he says, if you want to abound in the grace of giving, you got to learn to give systematically. In 1 Corinthians 16, let's read verse 1. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. He says, now concerning the collection for the saints. He's talking about an offering that Paul was collecting for the poor saints at Jerusalem, for that church. And he says, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Well, what orders, what instruction did Paul give? Look at verse 2. This is where it gets real practical. Here's the instruction. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, everyone in that local church, he said, let every one of you lay by him or lay up in store, set aside, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The idea there is Paul says on the first day of the week, by the way, what's the first day of the week? Right. First day of the week is Sunday. And he said on Sunday, when you meet corporately as a group, I want you to lay aside a gift for the Lord, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, we're not in emergency mode when I get there. He said, I want you to systematically do this each week. Now, why? Why did Paul teach on the first day of the week, lay aside? Well, I mean, obviously, that's the day we all come together. That's the day the church corporately worships together. And when you come to worship, he says, be prepared to give. Why? Because giving's a part of worship. You know, that's a vital part of how we worship, is we give. Whatever the previous week, it's real practical now. Whatever the previous week brought in, he says, as God hath prospered, he says, now you give out of those blessings. You're able to sit down on the first day of the week and give to God first. He's the first one you give to that week. Sunday's a real good day to do it. Why? Well, because typically on Sunday, you don't have all the distractions. You're not trying to go to work. You're not trying to get the kids ready for school. And you don't have to usually get where you're going as early. Some of you got here at 9:45 for life group. Some of you just had to get here by 11. So you don't have all those time demands and pressures typically on Sunday that you do during the week. So we're able to get up on Sunday. We're able to meditate, think about the previous week, think about God's blessings, prepare our heart for church, prepare our heart to worship God. In your handout, it says giving should be a regular, definite grace that you practice, that you practice. You say, well, wait a minute. Does that mean you know that a person has to give every Sunday? No. The idea isn't that you have to give every time somebody puts an offering plate in front of you. That's not the idea. Because here's the deal. If we give as God prospers us, some people only get paid once a month. Some people get paid twice a month. Well, you know what? I'm not a math major, but I know the percent of zero. What's the percent of zero? Zero, right. So if the past week brought in zero, well, I know the percent of that zero, right. So you give, if he prospers you with income, you give out of those blessings, you know, and you lay aside something for God and for his work. In your handout, it says the opposite of systematic would be erratic, occasional, and spontaneous. In other words, the idea when the urge hits you. That would be the opposite of systematic. Would be, well, I'm going to give erratically. I give when the urge hits me. Now, we all know about that, right? Doing something when the urge hits you. Right? I mean, it's like, you know, about twice a year, I'll be sitting at the house. And all of a sudden, the urge will hit me. And I'll get in my car and I'll go and I'll get a dozen hot Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, I don't do that systematically. I do it occasionally, erratically, when the urge hits me, spontaneously. Now, my boys wish I did it systematically. They wish I did it more with a systematic approach, but I don't. You know, usually about twice a year, I'll get a hankering for that, and I'll go do it. Well, that's the way a lot of people approach giving to God. Well, I got an extra 10 bucks in my billfold this week, so I guess I'll give it to God. So we kind of tip God. You know, it's kind of like we kind of have the attitude like the little girl whose daddy gave her two $1 bills. And he said, now, honey, listen to me. One of those dollars, he said, you can spend it however you want to spend it. The other dollar, I want you to give it to the Lord on Sunday when you go to church. She said, yes, daddy. Can I go to the candy store? He said, absolutely. He said, you can go to the candy store. You can spend that dollar however you want to spend it. So she skipped off to the candy store. And on the way to the candy store, she tripped and she fell. And when she fell, one of the dollars came loose out of her hand. The wind blew it down a sewage drain. And she got on her hands and knees and she looked down that sewage drain, and she knew there was no way to retrieve that dollar. So she looked up to heaven and she said, well, God, there goes your dollar. That was his dollar went down there. And that's kind of the way we approach it, don't we? You know, the grace of giving, though, is the idea here is that it's far too important to treat it that way. The idea is, man, I'm giving to the Lord. I'm giving to the one who saved me. I'm giving to the one who redeemed me. He purchased me. He changed my life. He gave me eternal life. He forgave me of my sins. And I hope you know the forgiveness of sins today. Is there any way that we could put a price tag on the forgiveness of sins? You know, so the idea is that, man, God's just been, I'm giving to the Lord. I'm giving to my Savior. The Bible says I demonstrate my love for Him this way. So therefore, when I give, it's a serious thing to me. There's a definite, systematic way I do it. Just like, I guarantee you, you can look at your checkbook or your online bank statement, and I guarantee you there's a systematic way you paid your mortgage last year. There's a systematic way you paid FP&L. Because if you didn't have a systematic way, what would happen? You'd be sitting in the dark. There's a systematic way we paid our water bill, or you made your car payment. And I was looking back, I always balance our checkbook. Denise typically writes all the checks, and I balance it once a month. And I was looking back a couple of weeks ago, and it just blessed my heart. Because I just saw that systematic, you know, that giving to the Lord, just like clockwork. And that's what he means. That's when Paul says, hey, on the first day of the week, and obviously, again, doesn't mean every Sunday, but it just means the principle that you take from that is that Paul's saying, man, you just approach this thing in a systematic way because it's important to you. It means something. It means something to you. Number two, he gives a second principle right here in this text. And that's number two, to give proportionately. What does that mean? Well, look at verse two. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. What does the Bible say? As God hath prospered him. Can you say that with me? As God hath prospered him. What does that mean? In your handout, give you a statement. You ready? You give in proportion to God's blessings. That's what it means. You give in proportion to God's blessings. It's like I said earlier, zero, the percent of zero is zero. All right? But did you know this? How many of you would agree with this statement? Anything and everything that we have ultimately comes from God. You believe that? Now, that's a good statement, and that's a good one to say amen on. But you know what? You got to be able to prove it in the Scripture. Preacher gets up and preacher says, everything you have comes from God. Well, okay, that sounds great, but is that in the Bible? See, what I say doesn't matter. It's what the Bible says. And did you know the Bible does teach that? That everything you have comes from God? Look with me, if you'll turn your hand out over, 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, Paul writes to the church, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly, and what's the next two words? All things to enjoy. That means some of what I have comes from God, right? Good, I caught you. You caught me. No, not some. All things are from God. The idea there is that everything that's here on planet Earth is here because God put it here. So think about this. Everything on the earth is here because God put it here for us to use and benefit from. So if you have the ability and you have the understanding to take the things that God's put here in creation, work them together as to produce gain, he says, that's God prospering you. That's God doing that. That's God prospering you. There's a great verse in 1 Corinthians 4, if you'll flip back a few chapters, and it's a verse you don't hear a lot, but it's a great verse. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Flip back there. And this is really a good verse. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Sometimes we can kind of get arrogant, or we can get egotistical, and we can kind of think, oh boy, look at me. Look what I've earned. Look what I've done. You know? And I'll never forget, years and years ago, it's probably 15 years ago, they were doing a commercial for that show The Simpsons, a cartoon show The Simpsons. They were doing a commercial during a football game. And I remember watching that commercial, and the little boy looked at his dad before they ate dinner. And the little boy said, "Aren't we going to pray and give thanks to God?" And the dad said, "What are you thanking him for? I'm the one that earned it." And you know what? It's easy to get that attitude. This is my stuff, man. Look what I've earned. Look what I've worked for. Look what I pulled myself up by my bootstraps and did. And look what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. He says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Isn't that a great verse right there? Everything that we have, we've received from the Lord. The Bible teaches then that we give according to what we have. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Go to the next book of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I actually had somebody stop by the hospitality room, and this part of the message really, really spoke to them. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, and let's begin reading in verse 11 and 12. 2 Corinthians 8, 11 and 12. Paul writes, and again, the context in these two chapters is giving, and he says in verse 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it." You know, let's get with it here. Let's do it, he tells the church at Corinth. "That as there was a readiness to will," you know, you said you were going to do it, "so there may be a performance also out of that which you have." He says you need to get with it, and let's get going with this thing. Verse 12, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." The idea there is that you can't give what you don't have. You give according to what you have. You give proportionately according to the Lord's blessings. If you made $20 this week and you give five of it away, that's a lot, isn't it? But if you make $100 and you give five, well, that's not as much, is it? It's like the widow with the two mites. Remember that story? The Bible says that Jesus is leaning up against the wall. He's got his disciples with him. They're in the temple. And the Bible says they're taking up an offering. And the Bible says these rich men are coming in. And the Bible says they're casting in big sums of money into the offering. Then this little widow comes in. And this widow comes in with two mites, like two pennies. And she casts that into the offering plate. Maybe there was snickering, I don't know. Look at her, she did two pennies. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "She's given more than everybody else here." And the disciples said, "What? These rich people, man, they're putting in big figures. What do you mean she's given more than anybody else?" And Jesus said that the rich, they gave out of their abundance. But she gave everything she had. He said she gave more than everybody. And what he meant by that was, of course, he meant she gave more than the rich men, proportionately speaking. And that's what Jesus is looking at. You see, more than the amount, giving is a heart issue. If the heart's in tune with the Spirit, and if the heart's in love with Jesus, well, the amount will take care of itself. Sometimes people will get upset and they feel guilty, or they'll even quit going to church because they're under this guilt. Well, I can't give what I used to give to the Lord. You know, maybe their business declined, or maybe they had a financial reversal. Maybe sales are down. I mean, we know what real estate's done in Florida in the last 5 years. Maybe they retired, and so now the income isn't what it was, and they feel guilty, but they shouldn't. The Bible teaches we give proportionately to God's blessings. Hey, life has its ups and downs. Can I get an amen to that? Life has its ups and downs. And so therefore, what we give, man, the amount may differ from year to year, month to month, or even week to week. There's a great verse in your handout along that line. Look at Acts 11:29 in your handout. It says, "Then the disciples, every man according to his ability." Now underline that. "Every man according to his ability determined to send relief." That's talking about giving. "Unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea." They were taking up a love offering for the saints at Jerusalem, and they gave every man according to his ability. That's what it's all about. We give according to our ability. We give according as to how God prospers us. Now, in your handout, it says, when material prosperity comes, the Christian should view this as an opportunity to give more, not necessarily to buy more. And I think sometimes we do that, don't we? You know, well, I paid off the credit card. Now I got $50 a month. What are we going to do with it? You know, what can we buy? And I think it's easy to get in that mindset. But the Christian's attitude is, oh, I got an extra $50 a month. How can I give more? Maybe I can give to missions. Maybe I can save up for a missions trip I've been wanting to take. You know, but our first, and we've all got to buy stuff. We know that, you know. I mean, stuff breaks down, refrigerators break down, hot water heaters blow up, cars blow up, everything blows up, amen. And so we know we got to buy stuff. And the Lord knows we got to buy stuff. That's part of life. But my point is that the Christian's heart is, man, you know what? I've got these extra funds. Maybe I can give something to somebody in need, or give more to the Lord, or whatever. I remember, you know, sometimes the Lord's blessings doesn't always mean extra money. Sometimes God's blessings come in the form of saving you money. Amen. I remember several years ago, we were telling them, it's fresh on my mind because we were just telling the boys about this. We were having family devotions the other night, and my boys and my wife and I were gathered around the table, and I was telling them a story that I knew they were too little to remember, where Denise, she had some wisdom teeth that had to come out, and they were impacted. And so we had to go to an oral surgeon, and they had to be cut out. She had to go through surgery. She had to be completely put out, put under. And I remember that, you know, after we had the surgery done, we did not know this doctor. He did not go to church here. But when we went to leave and we went to pay him, he looked at us and he said, "No charge." And we walked out of that building not paying a cent. Now, I know some of you are thinking, who was that? I want his name. I'm not going to give it to you. Because that man would never, he's a humble man and would never want his name, you know, he wouldn't want any accolades. And I don't know why he did it other than the Lord. Amen. I mean, he just said, no charge. We hadn't even discussed that. That's not something we talked about. And when we gave in our offering that Sunday, we gave extra because of all the money God saved us. He didn't bring in any extra, but he saved us a bunch that we would have had to spend. And so in our offering, we wanted to give extra to say, thank you, God, for what you did for us this week. You know, I mean, there's times when it's just, it's exciting when the car doesn't break down for a month. Amen. It goes a whole month. You go a whole month and you think, man, the car didn't break down once. You know? And that's money God saves you. And it's just exciting, you know? And so we give proportionately. Every time we give, we reflect on God's blessings on our lives, and we determine what proportion we're going to return. Number three, last principle is this. Let's bring it up on the screen. We give systematically, proportionately, and number three, Paul taught a Christian should want to give sacrificially. Sacrificially. Go to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. Everybody look at that with me. And he said here, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," Jesus was rich, "yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." In your handout, it says Jesus is the original grace giver. Jesus is the original grace giver. How amazing. Jesus gave up the riches of heaven that he could have kept. He could have clung to them. Well, why would he give up all those riches? What'd the verse say? What'd the verse say? I want you to think. He said, "For your sakes." For your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. In other words, the idea is Christ gave up riches that he could have kept so that we could be spiritually enriched forever. In your handout, it says, when I am allowing Christ's Spirit to live through me, his attitude of sacrificial giving abounds in and through me. It can't help but come out. You know, just like Jesus, I give up riches that I could keep. By the way, you hear a lot of tomfoolery in churches about this. Preachers will get up and try to scare people. And they'll say to people, "Oh, you better give this amount or that amount, because if you don't give, God's going to get it one way or the other." And the idea that God's up in heaven and he's got the lightning bolt ready and he's ready to zap you. That's not true. That's not true. God is not going to make you give, and he's not going to take it by force. Our God is a gentleman. And you know what? If you've got to make somebody give, then it's not giving. Amen. It's not giving if you take it by force, right? If I come to your house and I take a bunch of your furniture and TVs and take it to my house, and then I come Sunday and I say, "Hey, thanks for giving me all that stuff." When you take something by force, it's not giving. God's not going to take it by force. The idea is this: I give up riches, or I give up time, or I give up resources that I could keep for myself. Why do I do it? Just like Jesus, I do it to enrich others. For your sakes. Giving to the Lord's work is the idea, man, I want to give so that the Lord's work can go forward, so that more people can hear about God's grace, so that more souls can be saved and more lives can be changed. You say, "Well, Pastor Dan, at what percentage would it be considered sacrificial?" And I'm going to give you a profound answer on that. I don't know. I don't know, and I cannot be God in your life and tell you that. You have to pray, and the Bible says Christ dwells in your heart by faith. Christ lives in you to show you that. And then if you'll go to chapter 9, just look over real quick at chapter 9, you'll notice there in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly," talking about giving here in context, "shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man," now look at this, "according as he purposeth," where? "In his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Hey, look, church, the Bible says you give according to how you purpose in your heart. Well, where does Christ live? In your heart. So he's there to help you with that. You know, there are people who could give 25% of their income to the Lord and still live very comfortably. They could still live a very affluent lifestyle with the 75%, really. So really, 25% is not sacrificial for some people. There's other people that make so little compared to what it takes to live in Volusia County. And they make so little compared to what it takes to live and put food on the table and a roof over their head. If they gave 5% to the Lord, that's a sacrifice, because they make so little. You know, if they gave 8%, that's a sacrifice. So my point is that it's your responsibility to sit down before God, make some spiritual choices. Because every spending decision that we make is a spiritual choice because God lives in us. The way we spend our money is a reflection of the spiritual attitude of our heart. It really is. You say, well, Pastor Dan, this message speaks to my heart and I want to be able to give sacrificially, but man, I've made some bad decisions in my life. I'm in debt up to my neck. What should I do? And you know, you're not alone. Many people have made mistakes and they haven't been a good steward and they're in debt. But you know, it goes back to that verse we read in the handout where it said, the disciples, every man according to his ability. And you know, my advice to people when they come up and they ask me that is my advice is this: you got to pay your debts. I mean, if you don't pay your debts, that's dishonest. If you don't pay your debts, you're going to mar the name of Christ. You're going to drag the name of Jesus through the mud. So you got to pay your bills. That's a biblical principle. You got to pay your debts. You've obviously got to meet your family's needs. But my advice is this: set aside a little something for God each week. I don't care how little it is. Start somewhere. If it's a dollar. But then just faithfully do it. Just faithfully, systematically do it. Then as God allows you to get out of the bondage of your debt, say, you know what? I want to be a wiser steward. I want to be a better steward. Why? So I can give more to the Lord. Man, I love this. I love giving. Christ's Spirit's working in me. The Godhead exemplifies giving, and He's working in me, and I want to be a giver, and I want to impact lives. And so the goal is, what did Paul say? He said the whole reason we work. He said the whole reason you work and you labor and you make money, he said, is so that you can give. So that you can give. Ephesians 4:28. And so that's the motive. And then in your handout, it says this: as you grow in your relationship with Christ and your love for Him, as you grow in your love for Christ, it says you will find so much joy in giving to Him and His work on the earth. And then it says you will want to abound in the grace of giving. It's something you're going to want to do. Look up at the handout, at the screen, please. And can we go to that next screen? And I want us to review, what were the 3 points that we gave you this morning? Paul said this: you want to abound in the grace of giving. Number one is to give what? Have a regular, definite way you do it. Okay? Number two is to give, big word, proportionately. You give in proportion as God hath prospered. Number three, he said you give what? Sacrificially. Why? Because that's the heart of God. That's what Christ did. He's the original grace giver. And if I want to be like Christ, I want to give in a way that it costs me something. Remember what David said when he went to go get that land? And the guy that he wanted the land to build the temple on, he went to the guy that he wanted his land to build the temple of God. And he asked the guy if he could buy the land. And the guy said, no, man, no way. Take it. Use it for God's glory. I'm not going to charge you nothing, man. Just take it. And David said, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. I'm not going to give to the Lord something that costs me nothing. And David made the guy take money for the land. Because he said, I'm not going to offer up and give to the Lord something that doesn't cost me anything. And the idea of that heart, and that's that heart there, is that when Jesus died on the cross, did that cost him something? Did it? Man, it cost him his life. It cost him physical pain. It cost him separation from the Father. He had to take the wrath of God for our sins. He had to bear. You know what it's like to bear your own sins, let alone, can you imagine bearing your sins and mine? Can you imagine bearing your sins? You know what your conscience does, just bearing your own sins. Can you imagine bearing yours and mine and his and hers? And everyone in this church and everyone in the world? When Christ died on the cross and he gave that sacrifice, it was costly. When the Father gave the Son, it was costly to the Father. He didn't just send an angel. He didn't send a prophet. He sent His only begotten Son. It cost Him something. You know, when the Lord gives, I mean, He really gives. And the idea is that when we give to the Lord, we give sacrificially. We want to give to where we feel it. It costs us something. And maybe I don't get this over here that I want. Why? Because God means something to me. And that's important to me. And I make choices and I make decisions and I'm willing to sacrifice. If we give and we don't ever sacrifice, well, then like Jesus said, they gave of their abundance. She gave everything she had. And that's the point, is the sacrifice involved. And these are the principles that Paul gives us. Can I put a percentage on that? No. Can I give you a set amount? No. That's going to vary from person to person. But you can seek the Lord. And you can figure that out as you pray. Man, I want our lives to have impact for Christ. And like I said, whether you give your time, whether you give your resources here or somewhere else, that's not the issue. I'm not asking you for anything for this ministry. I just want you to know these principles so that you can abound in a grace that's very important in your life, because it's so much like God.